You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Well, good morning. Good to be here this morning. Happy to be here and fill in for my good friend Ron. I really, 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 love Ron. I love Annette. And I just admire them, respect them so much for their long obedience in the same direction here at Canby Foursquare. It's rare for that to happen, and I just appreciate them so much. Although Ron and I, we've kind of been around here for 30 or so years. It's only been in the last 10 years that we really have become close friends. And we've shared a lot of life and a lot of ministry together. And Ron is one of my go-to people. I'm one of his go-to people, I think and hope. I want to share something about Ron that I'll never forget, never forget. So end of last year, just right before Christmas, my father died of COVID over in Boise, and we couldn't have a service. People couldn't travel. People didn't feel right, comfortable coming together. And so we did a live stream memorial service for my dad from our church, Canby Alliance Church. And that way people who were spread out over, 8 or 9 states, a Canadian province, they could all be together. And remember my dad. And the weird thing about it was that I was doing this service in our sanctuary, and it was empty. There was nobody there except for myself, obviously, my wife, the production crew that was doing the live stream, and Ron. Ron was there. Because I'd asked him if he would be willing to do the benediction for my father's service. I said, you can put something on video, and that will just be fine. You don't have to come. You don't have to be there. And he says, no. He says, I'm going to be there to support you. And so here's Ron there for a 90-minute service for somebody he doesn't even know because he wants to support me, and that's Ron, and that's friendship, and that's your pastor. So, this morning, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and Simeon. The Holy Spirit and Simeon from Luke chapter 2. Now, to get us going, 3 years ago, on vacation, my wife Heather and I, we attended St. Aldate's Church in Oxford, England. We'd heard about this church, we wanted to visit, so we went. And St. Aldate's is an Anglican church, meaning that there's lots of liturgy. It's an Anglican church with evangelical theology, meaning that it's gospel and Bible and Christ-centered. And then it has a charismatic flavor because St. Aldate's is a church that's been in renewal of the Holy Spirit for years. And so we wanted to go experience this. And so I'll never forget when we walked into the service on a Sunday morning to a worship service, as soon as we got in, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? There's those times and places where you walk in, you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I didn't want the service to end. I didn't want to leave because there was something there that was so special. And it was the Holy Spirit. Now, while we were there, I learned that one of their pastors, Simon Ponsonby, had written a book about the Holy Spirit. And so when I came back home, I ordered the book. I promptly read it 4 times in the ensuing months. And here, I brought it with me this morning. But he wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. It's just called More. More. And then the subtitle is How You Can Have More of the Spirit When You Already Have Everything in Christ. So I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit, and I want to do that through the life of Simeon in Luke chapter 2. And one reason I love the Bible so much is it has these little stories in it of people. And so in Luke chapter 2, we have this story of Simeon, but he's sandwiched between a story about Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus on the front end and a story about this older woman, Anna, on the back end. And that's where we're going to go this morning. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 2, I want to first of all talk about what's going on with Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And I want to begin in verse 21, where it says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So what's going on with Joseph and Mary and Jesus? One way to look at this is that Joseph and Mary showed their submission to God by obeying the law. Everything they do in this little part of the story is in response to the law. So we're told that 8 days after Jesus was born, they had him circumcised in response to the law. Now we read about that they're adhering to these purification rites. And what that would mean is that after a woman in Israel gave birth to a child, 40 days later, she would go through purification rites that had to do with her menstrual cycle, and that's what's going on here. And then once they had finished that, then they brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord as the firstborn, and all of that is in response to the law. And we read here that when they brought Jesus and consecrated him as the firstborn, they either offered a pair of pigeons or a pair of doves, meaning that they were a poor family. They didn't have a lot of money, because if they would have had money, they would have offered a lamb, but they offered just a pair of pigeons or doves because of their poverty. So that's what's going on with Joseph and Mary. And then secondly, what's going on with Simeon? So now we come to the Simeon. Simeon's the main player in what I want to talk about today. I'll read you what it says about Simeon first. Now, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Like, what an introduction. A man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah, and moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations or all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and it will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's what's going on with Simeon in this story. And this is the only place in the Bible where we hear about Simeon. If not for Luke, we wouldn't know anything about Simeon. But Luke tells us a number of things about him. First of all, it says that Simeon was righteous and devout. Righteous meaning how he treated people. He was righteous in how he treated people. Devout meaning how he loved God and how he served God. And what we have in Simeon then, here is somebody who kept the double commandment. He loved God with all of his heart. He was devoted to God. And then he loved his neighbor as himself. He treated everybody with a sense of righteousness. That's Simeon. And then we go on to read that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Here's Simeon. He knew his Bible. He knew the Old Testament. He knew these Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah who would rescue the people of Israel, who would comfort the people of Israel. And he was waiting for that to happen. He was waiting for the Messiah to come and bring consolation. And what that tells us about Simeon is that he lived his life, his story, within the larger story of what God was doing in the world. In other words, Simeon's life wasn't just about Simeon. Simeon's life was about him living his story out in the greater story of what God was up to. And really, that's how we should live our lives as well, right? We live our lives, our story, within the greater, far greater story of what God is up to in the world. And Simeon was doing that. And then we come to these three references to the Holy Spirit in the life of Simeon. And the first reference is that it just says that the Holy Spirit was on him. You know, here's this man from Jerusalem and da-da-da-da, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And so what we learn about Simeon is that there was this anointing of God's Spirit upon Simeon. There was this powerful manifestation of the Spirit of God upon his life. And so if you would have been around Simeon, in other words, you would have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You would have sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. So question, does the Holy Spirit rest on me? Does the Holy Spirit rest upon you? Does the Holy Spirit rest upon Canby Foursquare Church? Does the Holy Spirit rest upon Canby Alliance Church, where I'm from? Do we have a longing for the Holy Spirit to rest upon us, like Simeon? And then secondly, in regards to the Holy Spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died. In other words, the Holy Spirit gave him a revelation from God. The Spirit gave him a vision of his future. The Spirit gave him a picture of what was to come in his life. You're going to see the Messiah, and then you're going to die. Your time will be over, and you'll depart. That's what the Holy Spirit did for Simeon. He gave him a revelation. And so the question for us this morning is, do we believe that the Holy Spirit can reveal things to us? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit can give us a forward vision of the ways of God and the will of God? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit can give us a picture of our future, like he did Simeon? So a number of years ago, this came to me this week while I was working on this message. I haven't thought about this in years, but a number of years ago, I was flying back to Portland from Lexington, Kentucky, and I was in Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and I had a long layover there, so I was sitting, you know, waiting for my plane to come in, and the airport was busy, it was loud, it was, you know, bustling with people like O'Hare usually is, and all of a sudden, I felt something stirring inside of me. And so I reached into my backpack and I pulled out a legal pad and I just began writing down what was stirring inside of me. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote like for 45 minutes. I ended up with about 2 to 3 pages of thoughts, and what I had on that piece of paper became the vision for our church for the next 3 years. Now, when I flew into O'Hare and took a seat, I wasn't thinking about vision. I wasn't thinking about the next 2 to 3 years of our church. I just wanted to find some coffee and get home. But something stirred within me, and it was the Holy Spirit who was giving me a picture, a vision of what was to come. Next, number three. The Holy Spirit told Simeon where he would find the Messiah. It says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon, wherever he was, went into the temple courts. And so for Simeon, the Holy Spirit is acting like Google Maps. Because he's saying, Simeon, wake up, the Messiah is in the temple courts. You need to go now. And when you get to the temple courts, I want you to look for a young couple. They're going to be over in the corner. And the man is going to be wearing like a blue turban and a brown robe. And his wife is going to have on a green robe. And she's going to be like a foot shorter than he is. and she's going to be cradling a baby, and that baby is the Messiah. You need to go right now. And when you get to the temple courts, that is who you need to look for. And that's what Simeon did. And he found Joseph, he found Mary, he found the baby Messiah. And so I have to ask myself the question, does the Holy Spirit still move people in that way today? Does the Holy Spirit still act as Google Maps in our lives? Does he say, go here, do this, watch for this? And I think he does. In fact, I know he does. So a few years ago, we'd had a late elder meeting. This was around 10 o'clock at night, and I was driving home, and it was dark. Our church is located over at 9th and Juniper. Nobody ever knows where it's at because it's in the middle of a residential area. But anyway, I was driving south on Juniper to where Juniper turns right into and becomes 5th Avenue. And as I was driving down Juniper, right on the corner, there was a car sitting parked on my side of the road with its headlights coming at me, kind of blinding me. And so as I approached the corner, I slowed down. I began to turn left, you know, to go around the car. And as I began to turn left, I heard a voice. Not literally, but I heard a voice inside of me say, go wide, really wide. Thankfully, I followed the voice. So as I went around the corner, I went wide, really wide. And once I got around the corner and got behind the car lights, what I saw there were two people, two pedestrians walking in the road that I would have ran right into if I hadn't gone wide, really wide. That was the Holy Spirit being my Google Maps, telling me what to do, preventing me from running over two people. And I kid you not, I literally had tingles running up and down my spine. It was that kind of an experience. It was like it was so real what the Holy Spirit had just done. So here's the Holy Spirit at work in the life of Simeon. The Holy Spirit just rested upon him. The Holy Spirit gave him a vision, a revelation of what was to come. And the Holy Spirit practically, detailedly moved him into the temple courts so that he could see the baby Jesus. And so next, Simeon, he takes Jesus, he takes the baby Messiah in his arms, and he prays and he blesses the family. And then he says, you know, basically he says, now I'm ready to die. Sovereign Lord, you have promised you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go now. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He's looking at this baby Jesus, about 40 days old. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, all peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Here is the Messiah who's going to come and rescue. Here's the Messiah who's going to come and redeem and save not just the Jewish people, but all the peoples that God has ever created. And as you can imagine, you would have been the same way. I would have been the same way. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And so they were amazed. They were blown away. Their heads were spinning. But Simeon wasn't done. Because what he says next, he goes, this baby, some are people are going to believe in him, and some aren't. There's going to be the rising and falling of people. Some people are going to speak against him. And then he finishes up with this word to Mary. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. And so this is the first time in Luke's gospel where the cross and the suffering of Christ is referred to. And in doing that, Luke also puts in, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Mary, your son's going to suffer, and you are going to suffer too as his mother. And that's Simeon's story in Luke chapter 2. And I'll come back to it, but I just want to finish off quickly with, well, what's going on with Anna? 36 through 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And so Anna is on Medicare and Social Security just like Simeon. You have these two senior elderly citizens in this story with the baby infant Jesus. And what do we learn about Anna real quick? You know, we learn that she was a prophet. Anna was a prophet. Just like Miriam and Deborah and Huldah and the daughters of Philip. And so, you know, we need to say a big shout out to all the women prophets then and all the women prophets now and all the women that God has called into ministry. You are in the line of Anna. And then we read that she's very old, that she's 84. 84 at that time would have been really, really old because people died a lot sooner. So she's very old. And she lived this monastic-like life. She was like a monastic. She was like a nun. She spent her time in the temple worshiping and praying and fasting, seeking God like monastics do. And then she too must have been directed by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say that, but how would she have known that this was the child for the redemption of Israel, that this was the Messiah? Because it says coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. And so I think the Holy Spirit also directed Anna to the Messiah. So that's what was going on with Joseph and Mary and Jesus. That's what was going on with Simeon. This is what was going on with Anna. And so I just want to end things by saying, what is going on with you and the Holy Spirit? What is going on with your life and the Holy Spirit? Anything? Does this story rise up or elicit anything in you when it comes to the Holy Spirit? I've loved this story for years. And every time I read this story, I just say to myself, I want to be a Spirit-driven Simeon. I want to be a Spirit-driven Simeon. Do you want to be a Spirit-driven Simeon? Do you want to live your life like this? I hope you do. So how does it work? How does it work? Here's the simple version, 101. Excuse me, I want to go get my water here. I should have brought it up. So when you and I say yes to Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus as our Savior and we come to Him, we begin this relationship with Him, we seek to follow Him, when that happens, the Bible tells us that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in the Spirit, which means at that point we all receive the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit, who is residence in our lives. But that's not all. There's more. There's more. That's what this book is about. There's more. And I want to talk just briefly about the more that's there. So Ephesians 5:18, probably a verse that many of you have heard before. Ephesians 5:18, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. And he just kind of slips it in as he's given some teaching to the church there in Ephesus. And he basically tells them, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. So Ephesians 5:18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or drunkenness, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And what I want to just unpack here a little bit for you is that verb, be filled. The verb, be filled. Three aspects to this verb. And the first aspect is that it's a command. It's a command. In other words, it's not just a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. It's not just, you know, you might want to try this sometime. No, this is a command. This is something that is expected of us. If we're going to follow Christ and be obedient to God, we need to follow this command to be filled with the Spirit. And then the second aspect to this verb is that it's in the second person plural. So it means everybody. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's including everybody in the church. It's not just the spiritual elite. It's not just a special group of people. It's everybody. So it's everybody in this room this morning. It's everybody watching the live stream. None of us are exempt from this. So it's a command. It's for all of us. And then the third thing about this verb is that it's in the present tense, meaning that this is an action that's to be continuous. It's to be ongoing. It's to be repeated over and over again. This is not a one-time thing. It's a repeated experience in our lives. Which tells us then that to be filled with the Spirit is this lifelong pursuit that all of us are to enter into. It's a longing. It's a reaching. It's a praying. It's a hoping quest that we embark on. And so when we say yes to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit as we're indwelt and sealed and baptized in the Spirit. Yes, we receive the Holy Spirit. But has the Holy Spirit received all of us? I think that's the key. We receive all of the Holy Spirit, but as the Holy Spirit received all of us. And so when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, I think what he's asking us to ask ourselves is, have I fully surrendered my life to God? Have I fully given myself to God so that God has received all of me that there is to have? And so this morning I ask myself and I ask you, are you holding anything back? Are you, you know, tightly gripping something or some things that you don't want to let go of? Have you set up certain parts of your life that are off limits to God? What are you trying just to keep to yourself? I believe that to be filled with the Spirit means to turn and surrender all that we are and all that we have over to God so He has the freedom to fill us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you around 60 seconds of silence. Around 60 seconds of silence, and what I want you to do is to listen for the whisper of the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to you this morning, or it may be a loud crashing voice of the Holy Spirit. Who knows? But I want to give you this moment of quietness just to listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today as you've heard this story of Simeon. So take the next few moments and prayerfully put yourself before God. Before I pray, I want to end with another little story. And again, it's out of my life, so I apologize. I keep telling you stories out of my life, but I know myself better than anybody else. Last September, I went through this kind of two-week period where I had lots and lots of anxiety. And difficult time, and I just felt antsy all the time and all this energy. And so in the evenings, I would go for a walk on the logging road, initially just to get out and move and try to get rid of some of this nervous energy. And then as I began to walk, I thought, well, why don't I use this time to pray? And so I would just begin to pray about my anxiety and, you know, other things. And then I thought, well, maybe I should just listen. Maybe I should just listen. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. And on those prayer walks, I had a couple of evenings where it was just phenomenal, where in the sense that God revealed to me things in my life that needed to be changed. Things in my life that were out of step when it came to the ways of God, the ways of the Spirit. And so I had these things, and then I knew what God desired of me. And I began to work on those things, and I began to try to be more obedient in some areas. And it took me to be quiet and to listen for God to finally be able to get through to me. And maybe that's why I had this two-week time of anxiety. Maybe that was the reason, to get me out on the logging road, walking, praying, and listening. But I'm no different than you. Most of us, maybe all of us, have things in our lives that are misaligned, that are out of step, that need attention if God is going to be able to fill us fully with His Holy Spirit. And so if those kinds of things come to you, I would just say yes to God no matter what He asks of you. Obey no matter what He asks of you. We can't lose when we choose to obey God. So why don't you stand, and I want to pray for us before we leave. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are the true reality in the universe, that You are true in a way that nothing else is. God, I thank You that You've come to us in Jesus, this little baby that we've read about today. You've entered our life, entered our world, become one of us, walked with us. And then as You left, I'm thankful that You sent the Holy Spirit upon the church, that You sent the Holy Spirit upon the world. And mystery of all mysteries, God Himself, through the person of the Holy Spirit, actually takes up residence in our lives, lives within us. Lord, I pray that we would all be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And if there are parts of our lives that You haven't received, that we haven't turned over to You, I pray that we would do that in the next several moments or in the days ahead, so that we could be like Simeon, so that the Holy Spirit could rest upon us, so that the Holy Spirit could give us revelation and vision, so the Holy Spirit could practically move us here and there. What an amazing life that is. Make it so for me, for everybody here, for Canby Foursquare, for all the churches in Canby. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.